We use AI for a lot of different variables where it makes sense. So for example, we work with a college. They're based throughout the United States. We won a Drum Award for the results and the increase in SEO traffic. Here's what's interesting. To write local pages for SEO, if you have AI do it, the quality isn't where you really need it to be. But we took AI to do research for all the local areas around their campuses and use a lot of that data when we were writing the content. The results were amazing. There is a purpose for AI, and that purpose will change over time as it gets better. But just fully relying on it right now is bad. Ignoring it and not using it all is also bad because it can make workflows better, systems better. We see a world where it's not AI, it's not humans, it's AI combined with humans, at least in its current form.
How did Spotlight Oral Care get 6 million views and over $30,000 in earned media value on TikTok? How did Plant People drive a 50% decrease in cost per add to cart and over a 30% increase in ROAS? To go big like these brands, you gotta think small and work with mini social micro influencers to create authentic UGC for your brand. Tired of hunting down and DMing creators on social, negotiating back and forth, only to have their one-off post flop and not impact your sales? Leave it to MiniSocial to handle all the nitty-gritty of booking the right creators for your brand, delivering top-quality content you can use across your ads and organic social media. Ready to try them out for yourself? Get 15% off your first project when you start in Q2. To claim your D2C listener discount, just go to dtc.minisocial.com. Neil Patel, back again. The last time we spoke was either on stage or on my old podcast, The Robust Marketer. Great to see you, man.
Hey, good to see you guys.
It's just been amazing to catch up. I've just been kind of going over your Twitter feed. It's just like you're just consistently putting out like vital information that the community needs to know. You're like, you're the real deal, bud. I just got to say.
I try. I miss you guys too. You remember the old Affiliate World conferences and stuff like that?
On stage.
Yeah.
I think I remember that event because I interviewed you on stage, did a Q&A, and then I also did an interview on stage with Cambridge Analytica before that whole thing blew up. I have a picture. I have a selfie of me and that guy that was in the news on stage. And it was, that was a high point. But let's move on here because I think the most interesting thing that I've seen you talking about recently, there's a bunch that I want to hit on today, but was the study that you did about AI in marketing. Everyone is going hog wild with AI right now. What have you researched and figured out about AI in marketing?
Sure. So we still run a lot of experiments with AI, and we use AI, and we believe in AI as a future. So I'm going to give that as a disclaimer before I read some of the data and the stats. So we've run tons of experiments, and what we found is majority of the time, 94.12% of the time, we ran an experiment. We found that human written content outranked AI content. And with marketers, the main two things we really see them using AI for is content creation, whether it's video or images or text. And then the next one is creatives. So you just crank out a lot more ads, right? Those are the main two use cases. I'm not saying you can't do more than that. You can create graphs. I think they'll be with PowerPoints. You can do a lot with AI. But a lot of marketers, if you're marketing a business, those are two areas where they're heavily focusing. And we found when we ran an experiment, 94.12% of the time, human written content outperformed AI content. And what's interesting is we surveyed 1,051 marketers. Technically, we tried surveying more, but 1,051 responded. 129 of them write their content purely through humans. 640 use pure AI. 282 use a combo of humans and AI. But this is where it really gets interesting. We took 68 websites, created 744 articles, half human, half AI. We published them on a site. In month one, the AI content ended up getting 28 visitors per month on average per article, human written content 71. Fast forward month two, 49 for the AI, 155 for human. Fast forward month three, 36 for the AI, 139 for the human. Month four, 64 for AI, 207 for the human written content. Fast forward month five, that was the last month we had data in this experiment. The human written content went up all the way to 283 visits per month per article. So human written content went from 71 to 283. AI content went from 28 to 52. So in essence, the amount of traffic you get, right, if you just look at the fifth month, 283 versus 52, that's a big difference, right?
It is.
You're roughly looking at 5x plus. That's a lot of extra traffic by just having humans write content versus AI. We're not seeing AI perform that well yet. I know people like Sam Altman have made statements being like, in 5 years, you know, 95% of agency services will just be done by AI.
We all heard that.
And he's biased because he's on the ChatGPT end or OpenAI end. And we're biased because we both work in agencies. I just don't see it. I don't believe it's going to be zero. I don't believe it's going to be 95%. What is the percentage? I don't know. It's going to be somewhere in there, right? Could be 20%, 30%, 10%. I don't know what it is. Could be 40%. I just don't see it being 95%.
And when, so I've also seen some of your prompt hacking that you've so kind of posted. And I'm curious, like, when you put forward the AI content, were you doing like your utmost best practices to keep it from sounding as AI as possible? Like, was, are you like, and I guess the next question is like, it's just, it's so tempting. Like, how are you balancing knowing that human content works better with the incredible ease of AI content that I'm sure you're using in some places as well? Or are, have you gone full human?
No, I'm mainly full human when I write my content.
Got it. And for your team, like for your team and your agency as well?
We use AI for a lot of different variables where it makes sense. So for example, we work with a company called University of Technical Institute. They're a college. They're based out throughout the United States. We won a drum award for the results and the increase in SEO traffic. Here's what's interesting. To write local pages for SEO, if you have AI do it, the quality isn't where you really need it to be. But we took AI to do research for all the local areas around their campuses and use a lot of that data when we were writing the content. The results were amazing. There is a purpose for AI, and that purpose will change over time as it gets better. But just fully relying on it right now is bad. Ignoring it and not using it all is also bad because it can make workflows better, systems better. It can speed up things on time, like research. You know, I use AI for a lot of things myself. Like I ask ChatGPT questions instead of doing Google searches because when I'm looking for research, I don't want to click on 10 links. If they can just pull out the answer, it's great. A lot of times it's off, so I actually still have to do Google searches. But there's areas where it can save you time. Roughly 680 million of the daily searches on Google are question related out of the 8.5 billion daily searches, roughly.
Have you done any research on the video or image aspects of AI as well, or just the copy?
We have. So we've done a lot of creative tests when we ran Facebook ad campaigns. Let me actually pull up the stats. AI creative ads, Neil Patel. There you go. AI ads versus human generated ads. Okay. So check this out. We ran ads on Facebook, 28 different businesses for this experiment. All the businesses had multiple ad sets. Spent $7,049,204.24 over 30 days. Keep in mind, businesses had different conversion touch points, right? Some is a sale, some is a lead. It really does vary per business. So we took creatives and we used creatives both created by humans and AI. We were able to produce 1,709 variations by humans, and AI created 4,041 variations. Now, just like when you're running ads, it doesn't matter if you're using AI or humans or anything. You pretty much remove your bottom performing ads and you keep your top performing ones and you keep iterating. So when we look at which one converted better, the end result was human generated creatives outperformed AI generated creatives 68.3% of the time. So when we look at the conversion rate, human generated ones on average had a 1.54% conversion. AI generated ones had 1.28%. But here's where it gets interesting. So instead of stopping the experiment, we're like, all right, let's take the winning human variations, which pretty much almost all the winning variations were human, and then have AI create variations of them, right? So then when we ended up doing that, the end result was AI combined with humans created a conversion rate of 1.61, which beat out the humans of 1.54. We see a world where it's not AI, it's not humans, it's AI combined with humans, at least in its current form. I'm not smart like Sam Altman and Elon Musk. I cannot tell you what AI is going to look like 5 years from now. I don't know if they necessarily know what it's exactly going to be 5 or 10 years from now, but they'll have a much better understanding than I will by far.
Yeah, I think people do. It's like a bit of that uncanny valley type situation, right? Where people can tell, maybe not even just on some level, that it's a little bit astroturfed and right now. But I think your point about bringing research to your fingertips, bringing all the information to your fingertips, overcoming the blank page, I think, which is a lot of, and also teaching people, the one thing that I help as well, I think you're probably maybe more geared to do this, but like when it comes to just writing actual like performance copy and really understanding benefits and solutions, I feel like it's really good at pulling out like the yeoman's work of like coming up with copy that relates to pain points and your avatars. I feel like that's one use that it's great for.
Totally. It's overall AI, I think, is a huge plus for this world, and it's going to be amazing.
Can you just share briefly your prompt suggestion? You don't have to go in, you don't have to give it word for word, but just your prompt suggestion for how you put kind of guardrails on AI to write copy in your voice.
Sure. So funny enough, I just put out a tweet about that this morning. So the first thing I'll do, and you need a premium ChatGPT for this account, is the prompt I use, like, please analyze a writing style on, and then I just give a URL. And then what I do is I then put in another prompt, right? The second prompt after it gives me the output is, now I want you to analyze the writing style on, and then I put in two more URLs. And the reason I end up doing it that way is it gives ChatGPT time to think. And then I end up creating another prompt where it says, using the same writing style that you found in the above URLs that you analyze, I want you to write an article about, and I put insert the topic, that includes stats and cite your sources. Make sure you cover information that most websites don't talk about. The article should be tailored to, and then insert your ideal customer. The article should focus on, and then talk about the main points you want to talk about, instead of, and then insert the stuff that you don't want to talk about. And then please mention, insert your company name or product that you ideally think would be related to the article that you want to sell in the article, and how we can help, insert your ideal customer again, with insert the problem your product or solution solves, but please don't mention the product name or company name more than twice, right? I know it's a little wordy, but it ends up putting out a pretty decent output, and then you just need to go and modify it and tweak it.
I think you're just your line about finding content that isn't available on other websites. That's what we're building out our SEO presence at D2C right now. And we're just sort of like, you know, it's easy to put out also ran content that people can find anywhere else, but you really, you know, the more you can tie it to your, you know, your avatar, your business, your experience, you know, and specifically asking ChatGPT to come up with stuff that's like outside of what other websites have is smart.
I totally agree with that. Like, look, it works. But the problem is, even though you ask ChatGPT that, and I do it in my prompt, the problem is they're still giving you regurgitated information. And that's why I think human written content wins, because it's not regurgitated. You can actually, that's a lie. Most human written content is regurgitated, but you could create non-regurgitated content. And that's what we focus on, because that's what we see performing the best. We don't see regurgitated content performing well. Anytime you just write new creative stuff, it just does so much better.
So this idea that people have of just like, oh yeah, like just get that firm necessarily to do, like, I think a lot of people look at SEO as just like, oh, I'll get that firm to do it. And like, and I've worked with a couple different ones, and the amount of like a lot of the content that gets created by a lot of those firms, I think, is not unique content. That we ended up not being able to get it across the finish line, because I'm like, that's not actually what Pilot House says about that topic. That's not what I say about that topic. Like, you actually have to put real effort into real unique content.
You do. And that's why I don't think AI will fully replace humans, at least in a marketing aspect, because one is regurgitated. You ask AI to create a marketing strategy and everyone does it. What's the differentiation? And then here's the real kicker. Dude, the way AI works is it scrapes the web and it's using all that to come up with the output. There's so much false information on the web. They're not going to fix that. Dude, search engines have tried to fix this for ages. Every day, new factual information comes out and new bad information comes out. And there's social signals and signals in general on both sides. Great example of this, and this is an extreme case, but I love using this example, is a COVID vaccine. Whether you believe it's good or bad, or I believe it's good or bad, there's people on both sides and there's data on both sides. How do you know what the real answer is? And there's social signals pointing on both ends. So when you ask AI questions, a lot of times it gives you just bad information because the articles it's gathering it from have amazing social signals and, oh, they're false. You're kind of screwed. And I'm not trying to get political on the vaccines and saying it's good or bad, but if you ask anyone right now, right, do you get boosters? I bet you 90%+ of the people don't get booster shots anymore. Like, I don't know anyone who's got a booster. I don't even know when. Maybe elderly, but here's the, and people don't even talk about like, oh, I got COVID or this. Like, it's now looked at like the flu or something like that.
They literally came out and said that, actually. Yeah, the CDC or whatever came out and said that it's like the seasonal flu. Yeah. It's two realities. I follow this Dilbert guy on Twitter. He talked a long time ago about two realities going. And that's what's interesting to me about AI is it's like you can go on Google and you can search for a lot of different things and it's still kind of passive about what it gives you. Like, it'll give you things that, you know, the owners of Google might not want you to know about. Whereas with AI, it's a lot more tailored. You know what I mean? Even though there's two it movies is. Playing, there's data on both sides, it's a lot more streamlined to the correct answer, right?
And also with AI, what you see is based on who's building it, their biasness goes into it.
We see that every day.
And not to get political, but they say ChatGPT and Gemini or Bard or whatever you want to end up calling it, they both lean more left.
They do.
Right? Politically. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying this is the reality.
Yeah. Neil, we'll have to do I'm biting my tongue. We'll have to do a political podcast one time because I think that would be a lot of fun. It would be fun. We might get canceled. But I want to talk about evolving SEO. I just did a podcast with the SEO guy at Pilot House, and he was talking about the new rollout that came out this past week, kind of blocking parasite SEO, blocking people from, you know, hijacking Reddit and Quora threads in every single, you know, instance. I'm just curious, what's your position on the use of those sites? Because I imagine people are still looking for that authentic person-to-person information you get on Quora and Reddit, but how are you advising people build that into their strategy now with the recent rollout?
I'd say go long-term. So a lot of the problems that you saw with parasite SEO is people were just posting really junk, irrelevant content and just leeching off of other websites, right? Like, if you look at what Google's algorithm has done, and I think they now gave websites, editorial sites, is it till May? May that they announced that they're saying that, hey, if you're like a Forbes or India Times or any one of those, and you have a ton of irrelevant content, you better watch out. We're giving you those data cleanup. But whether it's parasite SEO or something else, a lot of these strategies were short term. And we've seen tons of them in the past. I don't worry about, you know, end-to-end Reddit or Quora or Forbes or any of these sites. Just think about what's best for the consumer. And if you do that in the long run, you probably will win. Short run, you're going to go through ups and downs in your traffic, but who cares? Long run, you're probably going to win. When I started in SEO, I was looking for every hack and cheat code to just get to the top. And you would just play whack-a-mole and they would whack you and then you'd have to figure it out all over again. That's not the strategy. It's actually more profitable to just think long-term and to do what's best for users versus trying to look for quick hacks to get better rankings.
You're 100%. You're talking to a reformed affiliate, so I know all about exploit marketing. But I like your philosophy too, just about like customer intent, thinking about what the customer wants. And it's not just Google. It's not just SEO. It's across every platform. You talk about it across TikTok, Amazon. I've got a great example. I did a podcast with our Amazon team and they're working. I think on Monday, actually, a podcast with Four Sigmatic comes out and they're talking about how they're going on to Amazon. And when Meta kind of shit the bed a little bit for them, they put a lot of budget into Amazon ads and they're verging into really aggressive territory where they're like showing up on people who are starting to show the intent that they're tired of Folgers, like Folgers alternatives or whatever. And they're a mushroom coffee brand. And they're, you know, they're used to kind of going after people that are becoming very aware of mushrooms and how good they are or whatever. But now they're starting to go after people that are just tired of crap coffee. And they're getting really aggressive, kind of pushing into that intent space. Talk to me about your philosophy of like consumer intent and finding it across platforms.
Yeah. So consumer intent really varies. I gave a great example of this the other day with like electric cars. So I myself am interested in buying a car right now because in the building I live in, I have a free charging pod or whatever it's called, and it syncs up with Tesla and I can change it out. But I don't have to pay for the electricity. It syncs up. I was like, all right, you know, this is pretty good. So I was just like, all right, let me do some keyword research and then figuring out what I can end up doing to really end up finding the right car for me. And by the way, I haven't bought any cars. So I did a first, I did a search for Tesla Model S versus Porsche Taycan, all right? And it was obvious I'm looking for the pros and cons of each of them, okay? And those were the articles that I ended up finding. But on the flip side, if I type in buy an electric car, I didn't mention which electric car, people could be running ads saying buy our electric car, which could work, but you're going to get a lot of bounces off there because it may not be the car they're looking for. And the Google articles that rank organically, ideally shouldn't be one electric car. You should showcase many ones that people can end up buying, right? Because no one's typing in a specific brand. When you think about that, if the copy of the webpage doesn't match what people are looking for, it doesn't matter how fast your webpages load, how good you are at link building, how amazing you are at copywriting. If the intent just doesn't match what people are looking for, people are just going to click the back button and your rankings will never be as great as you want. And that's the thing. Think about what keyword people are typing in and what you need to show them to solve their problem. That's who's going to dominate in the long run.
And then how do you build that into your, in how you use PMax in your accounts?
So for paid ads, it doesn't matter as much because you're not trying to rank organically. You optimize for conversions, but it's the same thing. You would end up just thinking about the intent of the keywords that you're bidding on. And the traffic sources, and then sending it to the most relevant landing pages. The biggest problem with PMax isn't really intent-based. The biggest problem that we see where companies get it wrong is mainly in the B2B category because transaction time takes a long time. So what a lot of people end up doing is they're passing in conversion data, but it takes so long to get it, it keeps retraining by the time you end up getting the conversion data. What we do is we go one level higher in the funnel. So in B2B, it would be more of a lead. But the problem with PMax is most companies just, if they figure out that you can't just, if your sales cycle is 4 months, you got to actually pass in the lead. If a company figures that out, then what they do is they just pass in all the leads as a conversion, which screws up the quality of traffic and leads you get from PMax. And it doesn't perform as well as we see typically from humans just going and running your campaigns. So what we do is we then look at what type of leads make your best leads and only pass them into conversions in PMax versus all conversions. I get it. If you get 100 leads and 20 of them were really good and 80 of them suck, even though you got 100 leads, we only show the 20 that were great as conversions. And we just say this 80 never happened, even though they're in our sales force and we still see them. Then it helps PMax optimize for really good traffic sources to get your ideal customer.
Nice. Same principle as meta ads. And, you know, back when people were, you know, optimizing on clicks and other things rather than purchases, it's just, you always just want to go true to the source as much as possible.
Correct. But in B2B, it's really hard to do it to the purchase when you have a long sales cycle.
100%. We've got a lot of brands in that, let's say hundreds of thousands to a million kind of range, really SMBs. Do you have any advice or any common mistakes you see when brands think about how to budget for growth across channels at early in that early stage?
It's not necessarily a wrong approach, but they got to change their mindset depending on what their goals are. If you look at the companies that are doing $1 million or so, typically they spend money on paid ads. If you spend a dollar, you want to recuperate all your expenses on marketing, all your business expenses, and have some profit. All right. The eight-figure company, 10 plus million, they typically will spend a dollar on marketing and they want to recuperate that dollar they spent and their business expense and break even, but they know that they can make money on the back end by selling the customer over and over again. The $100+ million company says, for every dollar I spend on marketing, I'm okay if I lose money on the front end, don't even recuperate all my expenses, because they should know their LTV of their customer. I'm going to make my money by continually upselling that customer, cross-selling it, and year two and three and four are going to be extremely profitable for me, right? That's the mindset shift between $1 million, $10 million, and $100 million company.
Make it up in volume.
Make it up in volume and on the back end.
So what do you say? So then what's your advice to brands in that earlier stage to build out a system that allows you to do the same thing, be more tolerant with losses up front, or you have to be more ruthless
and build up the business to $1 million+. Once you get it there, be flexible with some of your spending and figure out how to get more money out of your customers from the back end, upselling, cross-selling, subscriptions, whatever it may be, and then slowly start running your ads to optimize for lifetime value instead of front end. But you got to do a slow transitional journey. And there's a lot of companies out there. I don't know too many of them, but there's a lot of companies out there. Like there was one called like CapChase. There was one called, I think, Clearco that was Canadian, I think, right? Husband and wife couple that created, where they'll fund some of your ad spend. So then that way you can optimize for the LTV and not just the front end.
Oh, interesting. I bet that's got a bit more. Yeah, that's probably, you don't hear about those companies as much anymore now that interest rates are 8% or whatever, but it's still out there.
Yeah. And they charge more than 8%, right? Because the Fed, at least in the United States, SOFR is around 5.13 the last time I checked. Maybe it's a little bit more. What is SOFR today? SOFR rate. So SOFR right now is 5.31. I switched the one and the three. Either way, at 5.31, you know, these guys are going to charge you maybe 5 more points on top of that. Maybe 6 or 7, right? Maybe 8 at the high end if you're really getting ripped off. But you're looking at rates easily 11, 12%. If you get bank money, you're probably going to be around SOFR plus 3, 2 if you're really at scale. But most people are going to be SOFR plus 3, SOFR plus 3.5. It's expensive. You know, like you said, you're borrowing from a bank at 8%. If you're doing $1 million in revenue, you're not going to get a bank loan. No bank's going to lend you money. If you're doing $1 million in profit, you're still not going to get a bank loan. They're looking for a little bit more scale before they give you any money.
I've said it. I feel like our generation is here for the show a little bit. If you look in your crystal ball, for 2024 is going to be a tumult. We've got these crazy eclipse happening next month. We've got the election. What are you looking into your crystal ball? How do you think about 2024?
I think it's going to be a crazy year. Just keep your head down and focus on executing and best practices and, you know, keep doubling down when the economy is bad. Because when things get better, that's when you'll really start climbing out of it and your growth should be way faster than your competition.
I think it was Warren Buffett that was just like, when asked questions about this, he was just like, what was the number one, you know, candy bar in 1920? And it was Snickers. And he's like, what's the number one candy bar now? It's like Snickers. And it's just like, you know, those companies that have kept their heads down and stayed the course, have kept going. So I've got one more question about, this is like a personal one. I know you've been in the agency game for a really long time. You've seen a lot, you've taken your agency across multiple stages. You tweeted about it recently. I'm curious, what are your tips for an agency that's in the tens of millions trying to get to that hundreds of millions of level?
Sure. So you need to offer more services. If you can't get your customers to pay for, call it 3 to 4 services, your churn is going to be much higher. You need to really start building out your executive team, because a good executive team will help bring in quite a bit of revenue, especially if you get executives who've worked at other holding companies. The other thing that I would say is you need to start thinking about what can you do to really move upstream. SMBs tend to churn way more. It's harder to get enterprise. When I say upstream, a lot of them come from RFPs. So like, can you build relationships with Forrester or Gartner or any of those sources that potentially can provide you access to larger corporations?
Great advice. I actually have, I'm just starting to do a thing where I ask 10 rapid fire questions. Do you want to give that a go?
Yeah, let's do it. Why not?
Here we go. What's your caffeine routine?
None. I don't drink caffeine, no coffee or tea.
Like a psycho. I love it. Do you prioritize organic or paid?
I prioritize whatever is profitable.
I like it. Last piece of content you consumed that changed your mind?
Nothing really.
No books, no podcasts, no Huberman?
No, there's nothing recently that has changed my mind. Over the years, I've learned a lot from reading that's changed the way I thought. You know, for example, I was reading an article and it was a Harvard Business more so review. And they were breaking down, you know, a company and how they're doing over time. And it hit me. I'm like, a lot of these companies, and I kept doing some more research, that are really big, one thing they have going for them is just word of mouth marketing. But most of them, to do that, you have to, of course, have good product or service, but you just have to be in business for like 10, 15 years, 20 years plus. Most people aren't willing to do that. And it really hit me. I was just like, huh, you know, I just need to give it more time. I want growth instantly, but like, I just need to be patient and start doing stuff for a longer period of time and not have as much ADD.
Great advice. Speaking of ADD, TikTok, Reels, or Shorts?
I end up using Reels.
Reels.
I post my content on all of them, and most people do too, but I just use Reels because I use Instagram more than the other social platform. And I honestly don't use it that often.
What's your most useless talent?
My most useless talent? I'm double jointed.
There you go. I'm double jointed as well. There we go. Favorite movie and why?
I don't have a favorite movie. Okay. But I don't like the Marvel movies. You know, some people love them. Like my wife likes them. I don't care for the Iron Man or Miss Marvel. Actually, Iron Man wasn't too bad. But they've just gone like too fake. Like snap your fingers and everyone disappears. I like the more realistic movies and shows, like real life stuff versus like fake. Like I know someone doesn't have a spider web and they're going to be all over New York. Like, it's just too unrealistic. I know someone's not going to push a button and they're a giant ant now or whatever. Like it's just too unrealistic for me.
They're very jokey as well. They have this kind of humor where everything's a joke. I feel like Dune, it's not very realistic about the sandworms and everything, but Dune did way less with way less budget or did way more with way less budget, felt more real. Dune, if you haven't seen Dune 2, you got to see the Dune movies. What's your worst, weirdest job you've ever had?
I haven't had any weird jobs. I've had some jobs I hate, like I would clean restrooms at a theme park. That wasn't
fun. That sucks. No, people's stomachs aren't in a good position there. Sauna, steam room, ice bath, or pool?
Steam room.
Steam room. SEO tool of choice?
Answer the Public or Uber Suggest.
And then what if you were, if you had to have your last meal, you know, in prison or whatever, what would your last meal be?
Either tacos or a sandwich. I know that's basic, but I like basic plain
food. What kind of sandwich?
Turkey.
Turkey sandwich. All right. You heard it here first, folks. You got to follow Neil on Twitter. Where else do you recommend people go if they want to know more about your biz?
Yeah. My ad agency is called NP Digital. Just stands for Neil Patel Digital. So NP Digital, or my social handles are all Neil Patel, or you can just read my blog at neilpatel.com.
Nice, man. Next time I see you, I might be a stage. I can see that happening sometime soon.
That'll be great.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can do that right now at directtoconsumer.co. I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C Podcast. We'll see you next time.